This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
That's right. It is 9:42 in the morning, our time, and we are about to eat some M&Ms.
And we're about to eat a lot of M&Ms,
yeah,
I think.
And you can't have any unless you have some where you are right now.
I think maybe this episode was suggested by listener Dana. I'm not even going to bother to look that up. I'm just going to give listener Dana credit.
Okay, that sounds great.
This one, like, more so even than usual, I feel like if I really searched our back catalog, probably there's already an M&M episode in there somewhere, but I don't care.
I was shocked when you, so usually, you know, we set taping dates and then we come up with topics, and we have an ongoing list of topics that we could choose from.
Yeah, we have an ongoing beef.
But I was so surprised when you texted me to suggest, you know, why don't we do M&Ms on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, this could be just I wanted to eat a bunch of M&Ms, and, like, I looked up, I'm like, okay, we've done two M&M episodes previously, and I'm just like, I don't care.
Great. Well, I'm thrilled. I have some M&Ms.
And you're not afraid to use them.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go down memory lane?
Yeah. Let's go down memory lane first.
So I have always loved M&Ms. I've always been one of my favorite candies. I think when I was a kid, I definitely preferred plain over peanut. And they were called plain. And I think later changed to milk chocolate, maybe in the 90s. And I don't know. Like, you know, oh, wait. I have an M&Ms memory lane. One year, I got, like, an individual pack, you know, fun-size pack of M&Ms for Halloween, and I hid them, like, behind a book on my bookshelf so that I could eat one at bedtime every night. But I was such a good kid that I would do this before brushing my teeth.
Oh, my God. This sounds like June. June is very much like this.
Yeah.
Well, number one, I think I've mentioned on the show before that she hides things that she doesn't want anymore.
That's not a great habit, but okay.
So, like,
I guess if it's not food, it's fine.
Yeah. Like, rather than putting it in the trash can or putting it, like, back, like, somewhere else, she just hides it.
Okay.
But not very well either. She'll just, like, put it under her bed. Or the other day, she got a pair of goggles out of the bathroom drawer. And rather than taking the time to walk six steps back into the bathroom to put them away, she just hid them behind our, like, bird a day calendar on the kitchen counter.
You know what this feels like? Like, do you do this, like, you're in a store and you have an item in your basket that you decide you don't want, but you don't want to go all the way back to where it was from, and so you put it in sort of a semi-plausible place?
Yes. I don't hide it.
No.
But I try to put it somewhere. You know, often I will try to put it somewhere actually where it's either plausible or where it's very visibly not plausible.
Right.
So someone
okay.
from the store will see it and be like, I'm going to reshelve this.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll be in the store and I'll see that someone has put, like, a freezer item on, like, a non-freezer shelf. And I'm like, I'm better than that asshole.
It's always good to know you're better than someone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, oh my God, I love that you used to do that with M&Ms as a kid. It does feel very June to me that she has, you know, Zots, you know, that, like, old-fashioned sour hard candy?
Yeah.
She and I both really love Zots, and I brought her back some from a trip I took clearly pre-COVID. COVID. Actually, maybe it was our last corporate retreat.
Maybe.
Anyway, I brought her back some. She stashed them next to her desk, like up on the shelf above her desk. And she eats one, like maybe every other month.
Oh, that's great.
And I know that she loves them. It's just like, I don't know if she's rationing
them. No, you know what she's doing? She's like, hey, mom, you know, she's showing you know that marshmallow test. Like, I could fucking ace that marshmallow
test.
That's
true. She's like, that was way too...
I'm going to eat that marshmallow 2 weeks later, and I'm going to be like the CEO of the world. Mm-hmm. So fuck off. Does she ever... That's how she talks, right?
Yes, that is exactly how she talks. Memory lane. So yeah, I have always liked M&M's, but they were never one of my favorites. I would say now I am the most inclined to buy M&M's that I ever have been in my whole life. They are closer to the top of my candy favorites.
Sure.
Anyway, but as a kid, like let's say if I got them at Halloween, they weren't one of the candies that I would throw away.
No, if I heard someone was throwing away Halloween M&Ms, I'd be like, either you're allergic to chocolate or you're literally a monster.
Yeah, they were definitely not one that I would throw away, but they also were never like the first one I would eat. Like Crackle was often the first one I would eat.
Me too. Oh, I loved Crackle as a kid.
Yeah,
like Hershey's miniatures were a premier candy when I was a child.
Although I never wanted the plain Hershey's bars.
I don't think I really did either.
But the crackle bars were always in high demand. And also I liked, was it Mr. Goodbar? The one
Mr.
that had-
Mr. Goodbar is good.
That had peanuts in it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I did not like peanut M&Ms very much. My mom always loved peanut M&Ms.
Can I say something about Mr. Goodbar real quick?
Please.
Like, there's a I think pretty famous novel, or I don't even know if it's novel or nonfiction, called Looking for Mr. Goodbar. And my parents had it on their shelf, and like I'm like, why is there a book about candy bars? Which I don't think it has anything to do with candy bars, but I don't know what it's about.
That is adorable.
Yeah, there were like a few books on my parents' shelf that I have like memories of just like the spine of the book.
Yes,
because there was The Woman Warrior.
Okay.
The one I just said that I already forgot, Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Did your mom have like The Dance of Anger, The Dance of Intimacy, like those ones?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I think the author was maybe Harriet Lerner or something. My mom was really into all of those.
And then there was one that I read as maybe like a 3-year-old as Holly Bibble.
Holly Bibble?
It was spelled HOLYBIBLE, Holly Bibble.
What is that?
Well, try sounding it out.
Holy Bible!
Oh, God. Yay. Okay, that's been our phonics lesson for the day.
Wow.
It took me longer than that.
Okay. My parents did not have a Bible on the shelf when I was growing up. That seems, notable now in retrospect that yours did.
Yeah, I don't know. That is kind of interesting.
Huh, interesting. My mom had all kinds of books about reckoning with spirituality.
Okay.
Books about dying a good death. This was during the AIDS epidemic. My mother's bookshelf was filled with self-improvement.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, okay, but I was talking about M&Ms here.
Yes, yes, you were.
Eating an M&M improves me as a human being.
Oh, yeah. No. This is like our self-helpiest episode, probably.
It totally is. When I open a pack of M&Ms, I do the dance of intimacy with them.
Wow.
I put them into my body. What could be more intimate?
That's true. There's nothing more intimate than what you do with M&Ms.
Anyway, wait, I'm not done with memory lane.
No, please.
Okay. So anyway, I would definitely eat my M&Ms if they, you know, appeared before me, but I would never like choose them as my number one thing.
Yeah.
I do remember very clearly there being a time when all there was like regular M&Ms or peanut M&Ms. And it seemed like who could possibly need more?
Right. And the regular ones were called plain. And it's really hard to imagine like any candy being called plain these days.
That seems
everything
like
has to be more or less extreme.
Yeah, like
I mean, I guess milk chocolate is not particularly extreme, but it's more extreme than plain.
That sound I made was the opposite of plain.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they are considering, like, there's a meeting happening at Mars and Murray headquarters right now about whether they should change milk chocolate M&Ms to roar M&Ms or whatever you said.
It's not Mars and Murray, though, anymore, Matthew.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll get to this. Okay, wait, can we talk for just a second about how this brand is spelled?
Yes, but I just realized I have a little bit more memory lane.
Oh, God. Okay. Fine.
When I was a kid, I liked to suck on the M&Ms until the candy coating disappeared because I was patient. And also, like, a few years ago, I had surgery, and I was, you know, like, not like super major surgery, but enough that I, like, had to spend a few days in bed recovering. And all I wanted was peanut M&Ms. And I basically ate peanut M&Ms 3 meals a day for several days and felt great.
You know, God, I love that you mentioned that, because I remember... So what I love about peanut M&Ms, what I have come to love about peanut M&Ms in adulthood and in my young adulthood, is that there was a way in which one could make an argument that peanut M&Ms are a semi-complete food group.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I remember when I was a junior in college and I was studying abroad and living with the host family in France, I remember I was running late to get a train somewhere. Like, I had traveled with school somewhere for the weekend. And we were running late to get the train. And it was in the evening. And so even the bakery at the train station was closing. And, like, all they had left was bread. They didn't even have, like, any pastries. They had, like, a few breads. So okay. I remember buying, like, one of the last types of bread they had. And I had, like, a 3-hour train ride ahead of me. And it was, like, dinner time. And I was like, this is not enough. And so I went to the vending machine on the train platform and got a pack of peanut M&Ms. And I had peanut M&Ms and some semi-stale bread for dinner. And, I mean, it wasn't great, but it was kind of great.
No, but I mean, they are very satisfying. They have the three main food groups: legumes, chocolate, and shell.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the way that these are spelled, because...
Yes, let's.
Those of us who are inclined to be assholes get annoyed.
Me. I always put a freezer item back in the freezer section. Not necessarily in the same place. I might put, like, a frozen calzone next to the pizza, but that is exactly where a frozen calzone would go. That was a very bad example.
I don't like it when apostrophes show up in places where they're not supposed to. Okay.
Oh, I think we're gonna have a little beef here.
So M&Ms, the brand name, the way it is spelled by the company on the label is lowercase m ampersand lowercase m apostrophe s.
Oh, you know what? I never really thought much about the fact that it's lowercase, but of course it is.
Yeah, and so there's always that apostrophe there. Like, Matthew, look at our recording session right now. Did you set this up? It's M and then the letter N, M, S. What?
Our recording software does not allow punctuation other than a dash.
Oh, my God. We have to find new recording software.
Okay. Fair.
Anyway, so I'm very up in arms about the branding, the use of apostrophe in this brand name. Now, I get it. We're going to talk in a minute about the corporate history of M&Ms, but I just don't feel that there should be an apostrophe here. What's possessive about this?
I don't have any problem with an apostrophe being used to set off a plural when there would be otherwise be ambiguity, or when the thing being pluralized. I have no problem with, like, 1980s apostrophe S. That seems fine to me. Like,
no.
Or, you know, like, I reached into the Scrabble letter bag and I pulled out two Z's, like Z apostrophe S, I think is fine. I know there aren't two Z's in the Scrabble game.
I don't know how else I think you should say that or type that phrase.
Well, I mean, you could do capital Z lowercase S with nothing in between them.
I would do capital Z lowercase S with nothing in between.
But I think if you did lowercase M and M S, like, it looks like it's M and M S. That's not good.
I don't know. I'm not satisfied with this. We need new punctuation. I think
you want like a whole new punctuation mark specifically for this purpose, like a plural, like to be used anytime something is pluralized.
Well, do you think that is what the S on M&Ms means on the label?
Oh, are you? Oh, you're saying that maybe it's like Mars and Murray's flagship candy, and it is possessive.
Maybe. Well, I don't know, Matthew. I mean, like,
I don't think so, though.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let's think about other candies. So Milky Way is just Milky Way.
But there's only one bar in
okay,
there. Like, what
fine.
About Reese's Pieces?
Oh, God. Let's think of other things. What are other candies that come in lots of pieces?
I Skittles. Literally just said Reese's Pieces.
Skittles. God, they are all
did
plural.
Did something terrible happen with Reese's Pieces and you can't even acknowledge that they exist? You're right, yes.
I'm so used to ignoring you when you bother me that I just ignore you sometimes when you don't bother me too.
No, you're right. Skittles, I don't think there's an apostrophe in Skittles.
No, but just pluralized. I don't know how I feel about this. You know, I just want there to be, I'm trying to cover up the apostrophe. With my thumb.
You're going to go into the store. You're going to like use your risk budget to enter the store and go in to like white out or in this case brown out all of the apostrophes on the M&M package.
I want to know what our listeners think about this because I am far from the most annoyingly pedantic like grammar person that I know. And yet this bugs me.
Okay.
So I want to know. Anyway, but yes, so the correct way of writing M&Ms is M'M'S, which I also find clunky to type. But I guess most people eat M&Ms, they don't type them.
Yeah, they are definitely more popular for eating than typing.
Okay. But can you imagine if your keyboard, if all the keys were little M&Ms and instead of having M's printed on them, they had whatever the key letter was printed on them?
I guarantee someone has done this. Not with actual candy, but with like look-alike, like plastic keycaps with like M&M style printing on them.
Yeah,
that's
I bet there's
a wonderful
like M&M
idea.
Merchandise that's like this yeah. or something. Okay. Well, so hold on. For those who have been living, I love that when I was typing this up on the agenda, the most relevant cultural touchstone I could come up with was the show Lost. Which is what, like 15 years old at this point?
Sure, yep.
Okay, so I was thinking about like, God, who doesn't know about M&Ms? And then I was like, oh, if they were living down the hatch, in Lost, like down in the bunker, they would not maybe know about M&Ms?
Yeah, I think the hatch was like I think they opened the hatch like at the end of season one, maybe, and that's when I stopped watching.
Oh.
But I assume like there were like one or more people in there who had never heard of M&Ms.
That was the defining feature okay. of the hatch.
I guess the like what you're saying is like if you're opening a hatch and you don't know like who you're gonna meet down there and like
take some M&Ms.
Like yeah, or just like drop some down into the hatch as like a goodwill gesture.
What if there's a dog down there? Like dogs
you're right,
can't
dogs
eat
should
chocolate.
Not eat it. You're right. Yep, I retracted. There could be a dog.
Okay. Anyway, Matthew, so for anyone who, you know, has been like living down the hatch in Lost or who doesn't know what an M&M is.
I just like the phrase living down the hatch.
It's
what,
like living
down the hatch?
Living high on the hog.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Living down the hatch. Okay.
Yeah, I think we've all been living down the hatch
God,
for the
we
last
have.
10
living
months.
Living down
or so.
The hatch for so long. Now it's 11 months, Matthew, when this yeah. comes out. Anyway, so if you don't know what M&Ms are for whatever reason, they are these multicolored chocolates with a candy shell, and each one has a lowercase m printed in white on one side. And
Thank
it used
you.
To be actually when they were first launched that m was printed in black, but it was smashed.
Oh.
Yeah. Now
but that changed like before we were born, right?
Oh, yes. That okay. changed. They launched in like 1941. And when they launched, I don't think they had a letter on them.
Oh, okay.
Then the letter was introduced. And then by 1954, it was changed to white.
And at first, the letter was W. Did you ever have like a teacher or someone who thought it was the funniest thing to say, I don't have any M&Ms, but I have W and W's?
No.
I had that teacher.
Wasn't there some episode of, God, was it like Parks and Rec, which I've never really seen, or The Office, which I've only seen some of, where some annoying guy was given the task of going through a whole jar of M&Ms and sorting the M's from the W's?
that does sound like something that would have happened on one of those shows.
If Ash were listening in right now, they would absolutely chide me for not knowing
which season
what show
and episode
that is.
Number. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
I think that
so,
was The Sopranos.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. They probably gave that job to that priest, that annoying priest who was always hanging around.
Yep. Have not seen that show either.
Okay. So the original version of M&M's, according to Wikipedia, had a semi-sweet chocolate filling. But they talked about like this. They talked about this as though that were still the case now. And it's clearly milk chocolate.
No, it's definitely not the case now. Now it's definitely a milk chocolate filling.
Do you think I have found an error on Wikipedia?
I think it's possible.
Okay. The first variation introduced was the peanut M&M, which features a peanut coated in milk chocolate.
Do you know when those were introduced?
You know what? I did see that online and I didn't copy it down.
I was just curious like whether it was like before or after we were born. 1954.
Peanut M&Ms?
Yep.
Oh, wow. God, that was early.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go right into the history of the company.
Yes, please.
As everyone knows, I always love it when I get to tell corporate history.
I love it too.
So, Matthew, when you started this agenda for our episode, you wrote, "Should we mention Smarties?" Smarties being like M&M lookalikes that are marketed by a UK company.
Yeah, I think of them as Canadian, but I guess it's like they're available in Canada because they're a UK candy.
Anyway, of course we should mention Smarties because the truth is M&Ms were copied from Smarties.
I did not know this at all. So this is like a Hydrox Oreo type of situation.
Did the Hydrox predate the Oreo?
Hydrox predated Oreo and Oreo was a copy of the Hydrox cookie.
God, that must sting.
To be Hydrox? Yeah.
Yes.
It definitely stings to be out of business.
Yes. Okay, anyway. So, here's the deal. There was this guy named Forrest Mars Sr.
Very cool name.
Yeah, and his dad, Frank C. Mars, already ran a successful candy company, I believe in Newark, New Jersey, maybe?
Okay.
Forrest Mars had worked with his dad in the company, but the two of them, I don't know, they like disagreed on the direction the company was going or something. And anyway, Forrest went off to go do other things.
Okay.
And one of the things he did was go fight in the Spanish Civil War.
A lot, like, it seems like that was like a popular thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
I like to think that if I had been like in the right of the right age at that time, like I would have signed up for the Spanish Civil War.
Okay.
Like and gone to like fight fascists alongside Hemingway and a candy guy and stuff.
Hemingway and a candy guy.
I imagine Forrest Mars being one of the talking M&Ms from the like pre-movie M&M commercials.
You know, actually, now that I'm saying all this, I'm not sure. He must have fought in the war. I mean, it said that he saw soldiers eating Smarties during the Spanish Civil War. So would he just be like a bystander? Did they set up bleachers on the battlefield?
If you could sign up to be a bystander, like, that is what I would be best at, I think.
Anyway, Forrest Mars was present somehow during the Spanish Civil War on site, and he saw soldiers eating Smarties. And the big deal was that the candy coating allowed soldiers to carry the chocolate even in warm climates without it melting. Okay?
Right.
So Forrest came back and, for reasons I don't totally understand, he did not take this candy idea to his father at the Mars Company.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm very confused about all of
this.
Okay. He basically took this new candy idea to Hershey. And I'm kind of wondering if the thing is that, so this was
and when
right
you say new candy idea, you mean literally stolen from an existing candy.
Yeah, exactly. He took this this candy idea that he wanted to market. He instead of taking it and, you know, teaming back up with his dad, he went to Hershey. And maybe the reason is that World War II was fast approaching at this point. Spanish Civil War was in the 30s.
Yeah.
World War II was fast approaching and chocolate was rationed. But apparently Hershey had some special like arrangement
where they
provided chocolate to the U.S. military. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess Forrest Mars would have been like, I know where the market is for this candy that I want to make, and I'm going to go to the people who have the in to this market.
So, you know that show, the Man in the High Castle?
Yes, we watched most of the first season.
Okay, no, I haven't seen it, but I know it's like a Philip K. Dick alternate history, like what if the bad guys won World War II? I imagine that, like, it alleges in that the reason the Americans lost World War II is because it turned out the Axis powers got the candy, the chocolate doesn't melt in your hand, and so the American soldiers were just smeared with chocolate at all times and like couldn't pick up their guns.
Yeah, it was very hard to reload a gun when your hands were covered.
Yeah, exactly.
In chocolate.
Like the gun barrel. I imagine that you reload a gun by like sticking a ramrod down the gun barrel, like in the Civil War, but the gun barrel was packed with chocolate and it was tragic.
Such a mess. Such
but
a mess.
Thank
so
God
slippery.
For thank God for Forrest Mars Senior or Junior. I can't remember.
Senior. Okay. Anyway, so here's the deal. Forrest Mars went to Hershey, and he teamed up with a guy named Bruce Murray, who was the son of the president of Hershey's Chocolate. So the original company that made M&M's was M&M Limited. One M being for Forrest Mars, and one being for Bruce Murray.
Okay.
Okay. And so, yeah, when M&M's were first brought to market, which was in 1941, the first big company was the U.S. Army. And during World War II, the candies were exclusively sold to the military.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to get your hands on some M&M's, you'd have to go to the PX. It's like the store on the military base. I don't know why I know this, but I just wanted to throw in that I knew this.
Wow, Matthew, this gives you some real cred. I'm not sure what kind of cred. Street cred, base cred.
Base cred, yeah, it gives me a lot of base cred. I can just wander onto base and be like, you know, I'm just delivering M&Ms.
Where's the PX?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, so during World War II, M&Ms were marketed or, you know, were distributed directly to the Army. And I guess when the war was over or something, then they expanded into the general market. But either way, demand took off so fast that the company quickly had to add a second factory.
Wow.
And today, actually, I think the vast majority of M&M production is still divided between just two factories. I think Wikipedia is leading me astray.
I think that's plausible. At least there might be like additional factories for supplying other countries, but I would not be surprised if all of American M&Ms were made in two factories.
Yeah, one in New Jersey and one in Tennessee.
Do you think there's like a code, like the mint code on a coin, that tells you which factory your M&Ms were made in? And there are some people who think that one is better than the other.
I'm looking at my okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the company is definitely based in New Jersey. I'm looking at anyway. Okay. But all this to say, it was not terribly long before the Mars Company bought out Bruce Murray. And so, yeah, the Mars Company has been the maker of M&M's.
But is that still part of Hershey or no?
No.
Okay.
Hershey, and I think that Hershey really was about getting the chocolate and getting the in to the military.
Okay.
So, yeah, Hershey is no longer involved, as far as I understand, and hasn't been for a while.
Okay.
In production of M&Ms. And it is now solely the Mars Company, which I think is now Mars Wrigley or something like that. Yeah, so they were introduced.
And they're working on a gum flavored M&M.
Delicious. M&Ms were introduced internationally in the 80s. I was surprised that it was that late.
Yeah, me too.
Again, I wonder if Wikipedia is pulling my leg.
Wait,
like,
were you
I
on
Wikipedia
a site written by a guy named Rick? you got severely Rickrolled.
Anyway, Matthew.
It's just Wikipedia, but every article has been rewritten by Rick Astley just based on what he thinks is the case.
I'm never going to give you up, M&Ms.
Yeah, me neither. No, that's true.
I'm never going to put this bag down.
I can't believe how long we've been talking without eating M&Ms, despite the fact that we're both surrounded by them.
I know. It's shocking, isn't it?
This is the closest I've ever gotten. You remember the Land of Dairy Queen commercials?
No.
Well, this is the commercial like in the 80s, like for Dairy Queen, and like the slogan was, "In the land of Dairy Queen, we treat you right." And it's like you're flying over like a jungle made of candy and chocolate and like flowing hot fudge and stuff. Kind of like a Willy Wonka sort of thing.
Okay.
Being surrounded by this many M&Ms is the closest I'm ever going to get to that childhood fantasy.
Wow, that was a long explanation.
Thanks.
Okay, hold on. Before we go to eating... Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the colors of M&M's.
No, I'm really glad we're going to talk about this.
We should try to find... No, we can't link to this in the show notes. But anyway, I pasted into our agenda today this handy-dandy little chart. What do you call this style of chart?
I want to say a Gantt chart, but I don't think it really is a Gantt chart. But it's like a it's a horizontal bar chart.
Okay. And anyway, it shows the colors of M&M's candies over the years from 1941 to 2017 or so.
You know what this is? It is exactly the same kind of chart that Wikipedia uses when you look up a long-running band and it shows you which band members were in the band at which time. So like if you go to the Metallica Wikipedia page, I guarantee you will see this kind of chart showing like, you know, here's when Cliff Burton died and here's when Dave Mustaine left the band and here's when they hired Robert Trujillo and that sort of thing.
You know, I was just looking the other day at the Prune Cookbook. Have you ever looked through it?
Yes.
At the back of it, Gabrielle Hamilton has put like, I can't remember what she calls it, but like a list of every person who's ever worked at Prune.
Oh, yeah.
And what their, like their full name and what their role was. And I'm thinking that it could be a really fun but extremely tedious project to turn that into this kind of chart, like so and so overlapped with so and so at the same time.
Who needs a fun but extremely tedious project?
Yes, I can't wait to get started. Anyway, okay, so Matthew, the original colors of M&M's candies were red, yellow, violet, green, and brown.
Violet. Violet, I think, was definitely discontinued before we ever touched an M&M.
Yes, it was replaced with tan within a decade of being launched. So
when I was a kid, the tan ones were my favorite. Did you have a favorite? I know they all taste the same.
Hold on. In 1995, the tan ones were replaced by blue.
Yeah, I know. That is when everything started to go to shit.
Oh, God. I don't even remember the tan ones, Matthew. And the other thing is like...
Yeah, Kurt Cobain died and they replaced the tan M&M and things have not been the same.
Well, I should also say that... Wait, didn't he die in 94?
Yes, but like you know, Kurt Cobain died. The next year, they replaced the tan M&M.
God.
It went from bad to worse.
That was the beginning of this slow decline that is now accelerated so
exactly.
fast here in the U.S. Wait, Matthew, I'm realizing that soon we're going to do this tasting. So I don't want to reveal yet what flavors I have here to taste. But one of the ones I have to taste has tan.
Yes. Yeah, the different flavors have different arrays of colors. And like, did you notice when you were a kid, this is going to be one of the nerdiest things I've ever said on the show. The colors were never evenly distributed. Like brown was always the most common color and tan was the least common. And then everything else was kind of in between.
Is this why you liked the tan so much?
Yeah, the rarity. But also, it was just a pretty color of tan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, anyway, from 1941 until 1969, each package contained five different colors. And then and there was a time when like red M&Ms were taken out because of fear of like carcinogens. But then they were put back in 1987. And since then, there have been six colors in a pack of M&Ms.
Yes, I do remember when they reintroduced red. It was very exciting. The blue M&Ms, when they introduced blue M&Ms or sometime thereafter, I had a friend who swore that they could taste the blue ones and that the dye in the blue tasted different from the rest. And they proved that they could.
How did they prove this?
A blind taste.
I think they didn't have their eyes closed all the way.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. I mean, we could try this today.
We could.
Except that, and here's the big reveal, neither of us happens to have gotten like regular milk chocolate M&Ms.
Yeah. But the thing is, we've had them.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Okay, so have you opened your bags?
I've opened my bags. We need to cheese plate this, right?
Yeah, we should cheese plate this. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, I don't either. So we only have four in common. Like if we make a Venn diagram with like the M&Ms Molly bought in one circle, the M&Ms that I bought in the other circle, like in the little piece in the middle, there's just four types.
Okay, yes, I like this. Okay, do you have almond?
Yes.
Do you have peanut?
Yes.
Well, maybe you should begin with peanut.
Okay. I will begin with peanut.
Okay.
Yep. That's peanut M&M.
How is it?
One of the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
It is so good. It's so good.
Every once in a while, you will get a defective peanut M&M, but I feel like that just makes me love the perfect ones and appreciate them all the more.
By defective, do you mean the ones with rancid peanuts?
That is what I mean.
Yeah. This is a problem with nuts in general. It's the price you pay for being a nut lover.
Yeah, and I, like, you know from the mixed nut episode that I am a major nut lover.
All right, so peanut M&Ms. Cross that one off the list. Let's do almond M&Ms.
Okay.
I have just opened my bag and I'm looking at it and it is like overwhelmingly blue. I feel like something went wrong in the factory.
Oh, interesting.
Let me peer into my
sack.
One thing I do notice about
mine
the almond
is not
M&Ms.
That I don't even see a blue. I think you got all the blue and I got all the other ones.
Huh. Actually, you know, now that I look at it, it does look like maybe I do have an even number of different colors. It's just all the blues were at the top. But what I find interesting about the almond M&M is that they truly are almond shaped.
Yes.
Which is kind of cute because it's not like a peanut M&M is peanut shaped. It's
Is a peanut M&M peanut shaped? Like, I don't think a peanut M&M is not peanut shaped. Do you mean like shaped like a peanut in the shell?
No. Oh, I'm fucking around.
Wait a minute. If they made like a special edition peanut M&M that was shaped like a peanut in the shell and like was like twice as big and had two peanuts in it, that would be so great.
Mm-hmm. Well, occasionally you get one like that.
I think these almond ones are pretty good. I am not a big almond fan.
I like almonds, but this candy kind of does nothing for me. The almond brings nothing to the M&M.
I feel like I'm getting some real almond flavor off of it. I think I would rank these in terms of there's a line below which even if like a candy or cookie is in the house, I'm not going to eat it that quickly.
Yeah.
And I think these for me are just above the line. Like I will polish these off, but like I won't rush to do it.
Got it. Okay. Matthew,
what's next?
What do you think should come next? I know that you have some of the various dark chocolate flavors.
Yeah, so some that I picked up that Molly didn't are dark chocolate peanut, dark chocolate regular size, and mint, and pretzel.
I kind of wonder if maybe you should do the dark chocolate ones right now, and then we should move on to maybe peanut butter, mm-hmm. and then like the pretzel and the crispy.
So I'm eating a dark chocolate peanut.
Do you notice a real difference?
Yes, definitely. I don't think these are as good as original peanut, and I don't think the dark chocolate plain are as good as the original plain. We've talked about this before. To me, like cheap milk chocolate is almost always better than cheap dark chocolate, and you know, M&Ms are made with cheap chocolate, and so the dark chocolate is not going to be a winner for me.
Okay.
If they made like a special, like, you know, this is the kind of thing that they do in Japan all the time. Like two companies will team up for like, you know, Mr. Donut meets Pierre Marcolini. We just talked about last week that's going on now. If they did like, you know, M&M meets Valrhona and did like Valrhona dark chocolate M&Ms, I bet that would be fantastic.
I bet it would be good, but I don't think I want really good dark chocolate up next to that candy shell.
Yeah. You're right. I would definitely be eager to try it.
I would try it. Yeah. The candy shell is like, hey, this is a candy. Mm-hmm. And when you have like fancy dark chocolate,
which is a problem when you're a soldier like on the battlefield and you've got this bag of candies that keep yelling, hey, this is a candy.
Okay, forget what I was going to say. I don't
Sorry.
Care anymore. Okay, Matthew, let's try these peanut butter ones, which are, for all intents and purposes, kind of just like Reese's Pieces, only chunkier. They're like, they've got really round bellies.
I feel like the peanut butter texture is pretty different from a Reese's Pieces.
Elaborate.
Or is it just that it's got a chocolate coating?
Wait, well, hold on. Wait, what is Reese's? How's Reese's Pieces different?
Reese's Pieces has no chocolate. Reese's Pieces is a peanut paste inside a candy shell. Peanut butter M&M's.
What? There's no chocolate?
I don't think Reese's Pieces contain chocolate, but now that I say that so adamantly, I want to look it up and make sure.
Please look it up. I need to know.
It suggests that I might want to know more about Reese Witherspoon.
No, probably not.
I know she's legally blonde.
Oh, my God. Matthew.
Sugar, partially defatted peanuts. These are the ingredients in Reese Witherspoon. Sugar, partially defatted peanuts, partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, dextrose, and some other shit. No chocolate. I also think that the peanut part, the peanut butter part of peanut butter M&Ms feels like firmer to me somehow than Reese's Pieces, but that's probably my imagination.
I know what you mean. There's something a little bit kind of crumbly about the peanut butter in the,
yeah,
the peanut butter M&M. The peanut butter M&M is not nearly as like, there's something about the sheer volume of salt in a Reese's peanut butter product.
Yeah.
That just makes you keep eating it. I don't get that from the peanut butter M&M.
Yeah, I do like peanut butter M&Ms. They are one of my favorite M&Ms. Not like my top two are still going to be original and peanut, but they're probably third place for me unless I eat something today that I like better.
Okay.
I think these really benefit from like sucking on them for a while and sort of melting the peanut butter. Yeah, I don't know. Like it's a good candy, but like are you like having to now like reevaluate everything in your life because you have suddenly learned that Reese's Pieces don't contain chocolate?
I am just shocked. I'm gobsmacked.
Yeah. What should we try next?
I think we should move on to like ones that are that have like crispy thingies going on.
Okay,
with them.
Yeah, you try crispy and I'll try pretzel.
Okay, so Ash turned me on to crispy M&Ms, which have like a little bit of like wafer cookie inside.
Oh, so it's not like a puffed rice like a crackle.
Nope.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a little wafer. I really enjoy the texture of these.
Interesting.
Sometimes I do wish that the wafer were, like, sometimes when I kind of taste the wafer, I'm like, I don't know if I really love this. It's kind of like a plain cookie taste.
Is that the slogan printed on the package, taste the wafer?
But Ash and I will often pick these up, like, at a gas station if we have a long drive ahead of us or something, and we can just plow through them. I find the texture so pleasing. That said, if my drugstore had pretzel M&Ms when I went to buy all of these, I totally would have bought those because, Matthew, tell us about the pretzel M&Ms.
Pretzel M&Ms are quite good.
They're really good, right?
All right. So first of all, the shape is like nearly spherical. And like I bit
that's
one
satisfying.
In half.
Okay.
And like there is...
There's so much crunch.
There's a pretzel. There's a ball of pretzel in the middle.
God, that... hold on. I'm going to bite in half a crispy M&M. You know, the crispy M&Ms remind me a little bit of gravel in that they're...
Right, a little bit of gravel?
They're...
In that you've lined your driveway with them.
They're spherical, but they're smaller than like a peanut M&M or an almond M&M or even a peanut butter M&M.
Okay.
They're
yeah.
so small that I'm and they're slightly irregular in size. I'm having a little bit of a hard time finding one that's like really big enough for me to bite in. Hang on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I forgot to say that about the peanut butter M&Ms. I like how that they're kind of lumpy and irregular compared to like plain M&Ms. They're lumpy boys.
Yeah, if you bite into a crispy M&M, it truly is like a little pocket of airy wafer.
I like that. And
inside.
I like the pretzel. Like it's like a pretzel ball covered with chocolate and covered with candy coating. And it's salty and it's great.
That's pretty cool.
Should we do... So I have mint.
Do mint? I've never even heard of mint.
I've had mint M&Ms before. Like they're like a little bigger than a plain M&M, same shape.
How do they compare to oh my God, what are the other mints? The mints that are coated in chocolate but not crispy.
York peppermint patty?
Nope, the little ones.
Oh, junior mints.
Yes, how do they compare to junior mints? Obviously they're not coated in candy. I mean,
I don't have any junior mints handy, so I'm not sure how they compare in size exactly.
But what about the
mint M&Ms seem to be almost exactly the same size as peanut butter M&Ms?
Oh.
And
what's inside?
Mint extract flavored milk chocolate. These are pretty good.
It's interesting to me then that they're bigger than the regular milk chocolate M&Ms.
And they're all green. The entire package is green.
How do you feel about this? Are you feeling turned on?
Oh, because green M&Ms make you horny.
Yeah, that old urban legend.
We learned that in school too. I mean, I get like more than usual. I mean, I guess I have to eat some more.
Yeah, eat some more. Give some to Lori. See what happens.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about the mint. Like, it's a lot of mint extract, and it feels like they're not bad, but it just doesn't quite, it's not quite balanced for me. I think it's like too mint.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. You know what I would like to share with the listeners here today? Well, I'm not going to share it with them, actually, because they can't have any. But is the coffee nut.
Oh, so, yes. I've had these before.
So M&M's have done a few like flavor competitions. I don't think that they've had listeners submit flavor ideas.
M&M listeners?
Jeez, you know what I mean.
Have you listened to the M&M podcast? It's three talking M&Ms. We're just trying to eat each other the whole time.
It's so aggressive. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I told June. I told June she couldn't listen to it. It was so violent.
Oh, and the green M&M is a horny motherfucker.
Got a mouth like a sailor, that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, the coffee nut flavor, was created by vote in 2016, beating out honey nut and chili nut. I guess they only had room for something with a nut.
Yeah, it was the year of the nut. I remember trying all of those.
So anyway, these, I really appreciate the aesthetic of the coffee nut M&Ms. They're all kind of various versions of human skin color, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, varying shades of like tan, brown, etc.
I don't know if they're advertised that way, but yeah, you're right.
No, I think this might be like my new favorite.
Yeah, so, I'm bummed that I didn't find them this time around. I like those very much, too.
So it's basically a peanut M&M, but there is coffee like infused into the chocolate. So it's like mocha and peanut, which I would ordinarily be like, ugh, that's one too many flavors. But I'm really into this. It's like just the right amount of coffee flavor.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a good candy. And like, I remember it clearly being the best of the three at the time. And then they did another round of like vote for one of three flavors, right?
Yes. And that one was in 2019. It was English toffee versus Mexican jalapeno versus Thai coconut.
Yeah, I remember those. I think I did also agree that the English toffee was the best. That whole round, like, I felt like did not really slap for me. I wanted the jalapeno one to be like more jalapeno.
Yeah. And was the coconut one, was it like a tiny macaroon inside each one?
There was a tiny macaroon inside each one. No, like actually, it was a full-size macaroon. Like a chocolate-dipped macaroon that was then covered with a candy shell. Each one weighed like 2 ounces.
Yeah. They're roughly the size of a quarter cup.
Yeah, exactly.
You get like 1.5 per package.
And you actually can bake them and they get kind of gooey.
Anyway.
What would happen if you bake, I guess like you bake M&Ms in cookies. Never mind.
You know, yeah. One thing I didn't put on the agenda today was like all the things people do with M&Ms, like put them in Rice Krispie treats or cookies or whatever.
Do you think there has been like a state fair abomination where they did like breaded and fried M&Ms?
I don't think I want to talk about that.
I think it might be good.
Matthew, okay, hold on. I have two flavors left to taste. I've got caramel and fudge brownie.
Oh, I have the same two. Okay, let's do caramel first.
Okay, hold on. Don't say anything. I'm still tearing mine open. Okay, so these are a little chunkier than the peanut butter ones. Well, very chewy inside.
Yeah, I am not a fan of these.
It's just like a, no, I don't like this caramel flavor.
No, I feel like if like you gave me some of these, I'd be like, you know, God, I wish I had regular old M&Ms.
Milk Duds.
Yeah.
These don't even taste like caramel.
These are like in the uncanny valley between M&Ms and Milk Duds, and they're just not serving the purpose of either one.
God, it does not even taste like caramel. It's just like there's chewy stuff in there.
Yeah, it's just a chocolate coating on some chewy stuff that they found in the corner of the factory.
Okay, Matthew,
I am really hitting the M&M wall here, and that doesn't usually happen, but wow.
I want to talk about the newest flavor released in 2020.
I had never heard of these. I went to the store and there they were, and I'm excited.
Fudge brownie flavor. Now, I would not have ordinarily picked these up. It's like kind of like the coffee nut. It's like too many ideas in one candy. Fudge brownie.
Yeah, M&M. What makes it brownie? I guess we'll find out.
Let's find out. Okay, so what do they look like, Matthew? Tell the listener.
What they look like?
Yeah, they're like, again, like they kind of look like the caramel ones in that they're like if you inflated a milk chocolate M&M a bit.
It's like if you had a little bike pump and pumped up a milk chocolate M&M. Sort of, they're kind of the shape of a peanut butter M&M, right? Maybe a little rounder.
Ew, I hate these.
I am undecided.
Okay, the texture is pretty good, but it just tastes like rotten brownie.
It tastes fake. You know what? You know what it tastes like is like gas station brownie. I don't even know if this product exists, but like if there were like a plastic case at the counter at a gas station and there was like a brownie in there that had been sitting there for a couple of weeks.
It tastes like burnt brownie or something.
And yet, I still kind of like it.
Ew.
Like
no,
it sort of tastes like Hershey's syrup.
Ugh. No, it does not taste like Hershey's syrup. Don't say that.
I'm tasting like the syrup packet that you like squeeze into the Ghirardelli brownie mix. Like this definitely would not be like in my top three, but I definitely don't hate it either.
I just had to cleanse my palate with a couple coffee nuts.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh God.
What do you think would happen if I now took all of these and made like the ultimate M&M mix with like some of every variety just like stirred together?
I think it sounds like a nightmare. I don't want it.
Yeah, it would suck.
Okay, Matthew, we're quickly approaching the end here, which is great because I'm really tired.
When you say approach, you mean M&M toxicity, right?
Yes, yes. So really quick, let's do a little flavor quiz.
Yes. Okay.
So usually when one of us does a flavor quiz for the other, we don't type it onto the agenda, like because we don't want to, you know, give away what's real and what's fake. But I have memorized the answers to this quiz.
Oh, okay, great.
And I've put it in here. So Matthew, which of the following flavors... Some of these are limited. Some of these were regular flavors for a time.
Okay.
Which of the following flavors are real?
I'm very excited for this.
Strawberried peanut butter.
Strawberried peanut butter. I'm going to say real because the name is so clunky, I don't think you made it up.
It's real.
Yeah.
Strawberry nut.
Fake.
Real.
Wow.
I know, right? It seems redundant.
Have they ever made an M&M with no chocolate? Like a strawberry nut? Does it have a chocolate layer? I mean, I guess we could Google it.
We could. Okay, hold on.
Nah, I don't care.
Pumpkin spice.
Real.
Real. Gingerbread.
Fake.
Real.
Wow.
Hot cross buns.
Fake.
Real.
What? Wait, did they have like a cross printed on them?
I have no idea. I don't know. But wouldn't they be so cute if they were all like brown with a little cross on top?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'd buy those just to hug them.
Oh, wait, I'm gonna look up what these look like.
Okay.
Oh, did you notice on the M&M's package that the M&M's website is mymms.com? That's mymms.com, like mims.com.
No.
So that's why we need the apostrophe.
That's true.
Okay, hot cross bun M&Ms are available in Australia. Oh, wow. Okay, so it doesn't look like there's any, like, frosting cross on the exterior of the M&M. But on the packaging, there's, like, a anthropomorphized M&M that looks like it's in, like, a frosting straitjacket, which is very disturbing.
A frosting what? Straitjacket?
Yeah. It looks like this M&M is like being held hostage by a maniac.
Could you send me a link to this? Or does it look like an M&M wrapped in caul fat? Okay. All right. Cherry cordial.
Fake.
Real.
Okay.
Pineapple.
Okay. I don't think there's been a fake one yet, so I'm going to say real.
Real. Candy apple.
Real.
Real. Tropical.
Tropical. Tropical M&Ms. I don't think I like it. Real.
Real. Tres Leches.
Real.
Real. Lamington.
Is that an Australian cookie cake?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Real. Hello Dolly.
I don't understand what that would mean. Like,
oh, you've never had a Hello Dolly bar?
Oh, I only knew the musical.
Oh, no. What's a
Hello Dolly bar?
Oh, God. Let's look it up. Hold on. Hello Dolly bars. Also known as seven-layer bars.
Okay. I think I have heard of that.
Graham cracker, coconut, chocolate, white chocolate, nuts. God, I love a Hello Dolly bar.
That's a lot of things to squeeze into an M&M. So I imagine them being like the size of a peppermint patty. I'm going to say real.
Fake. That's the only
what?
One.
That
that's
was the
fake.
Only fake one. Wow.
I made up the last one. Yeah.
And you really fooled me because, like, it's a thing that I didn't even know was a bar.
Okay. Wow, that was a really fun flavor quiz. I'm glad I went to that trouble.
Okay, this may be our longest episode, so what can we do to get out of here?
Okay, yeah, let's get out of here. I was going to say something about personalized M&Ms, like, because you can have them made. Like for a wedding or a baby shower.
Oh, with like your own logo on it or something?
Your own logo or your own initials. At least for a time, you could have your own face put on it. I'm not sure if that's still the case.
Oh, wow. But like you on know, a regular sized M&M?
I think. You know, Matthew, if we make it... Oh my God, I just had the best idea. If we make it to 15 years, let's have personalized M&Ms made where half of them have my face and half have yours. Get it? M&Ms?
Oh, this is a great idea. And then what would we do with them? Like send them to every listener?
Eat them.
We would just eat our own faces.
We would send them to influencers and get them to...
I think 5 years from now, we will be living in a world where we have to eat our own faces. So
I think you're right. Okay.
So might as well throw a little chocolate in.
Seems like we found our way out of this episode.
Okay, so what's your favorite M&M?
Right now, I think it's a tie between peanut and coffee nut.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it's like peanut. Peanut's number one and plain is number two because I'm the most boring person in America.
What about pretzel?
They're good, but they're not in that top tier for me.
Okay, fair enough.
Nothing else really comes close to a peanut M&M.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I buy it.
Yeah, I buy it all the time.
I don't have anything for my quilting or Animal Crossing segments today.
Okay, well, I have a real quick...
Actually, I do have an update to my quilting.
Thank you.
I forgot to pre-wash my backing fabric.
How could you?
And I am now... I am like literally 96.5% done with quilting the sandwich. And I'm not going back now. I can't. I can't go backwards. So
obviously I know why it's important to pre-wash the backing thing you said, but just for some of our listeners who may not be as like expert in the world of quilting as you and I are, why is it important to pre-wash the backing?
Well, so you're supposed to pre-wash all the fabric that you sew with. Wash it and dry it. I mean, unless you're working with some special fabric that you
Is it because it might shrink? And now if you wash the quilt, it's going to shrink at different rates and it's going to get really weirdly mushroom shaped?
Hopefully not. I mean, I think it shrinks a max of 3%.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just hopeful that it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, I think that all my quilt top fabric is washed.
Okay. And I think it's going to be fine.
I think it's going to be okay. The only question is, Matthew, I'm using the same fabric for the binding, which is like, you know, the trim that you sew on around the side. Do I go ahead and pre-wash that now that I realize it hasn't been pre-washed? Or do I forge ahead with the unpre-washed fabric?
I am afraid to weigh in on this because, like, my opinion will be wrong. And then if you do the thing I say, like, the failure of your quilt will be my fault.
And then we won't tape shows anymore, and we won't make it to 15 years, and we won't personalize M&Ms.
And we won't get to eat our own faces.
That's right.
I have a cute animal you need to know. And this one was suggested by listener Sarah via host Molly. Mm-hmm. And it's a baby Malaysian tapir from a Singapore zoo. And we'll link to that in the show notes. It's getting getting a shower. It's very cute.
It's so cute, especially the first few seconds of the video where it kind of like wiggles its nose. Yeah. It looks so earnest.
Yeah, it might be named Ernest.
I hope it's named Ernest.
All right. I am feeling the way you feel when you have eaten 1,000 calories of M&Ms at 10:52 a.m.
The way that you started that sentence, like, I am feeling the way that you feel, reminded me of
the song, I Want a New Drug?
No, it reminded me of the Janelle Monáe song, Make Me Feel, or The Way You Make Me Feel, except just much heavier and peanutty.
Yeah, like I think in that song, like the way that she feels is good, and in this case, it's not as good.
Okay. All right.
All right. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, on Reddit at reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk. If you want to send us a message for our occasional spilled mail segment, you can email us contact@spilledmilkpodcast.com. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Our staff consists of a few talking M&Ms. One of whom has been abducted and needs to be rescued.
God, I don't know. I ran out of funny stuff.
Okay. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Hi, we're a podcast. That was the thing that the M&Ms were saying on the battlefield for some reason. Like, hi, I'm a candy. Was that it? All right, maybe something else.
No. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Now I have to have 8 million different dongles.
Oh, you gotta have those dongles.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.